last week on Jack Unmasked.
Scotty was on the bench coaching, and all of a sudden he's down. Scotty was out cold, and they found this railroad nut, took him in the dressing room, and Scotty was just come to, and he says, "That's good." He says, "We'll finish this game down in Estevan tomorrow night when we play our game. We'll kill the bastards down there. Just watch that. Peter's got a guy on him. Get him in the penalty box. Do this, do that." And
I was fighting it out for the scoring championship with Skip Craig. Frank Mario, our coach, said, "Now they're knowing Scotty, they're going to send guys out after you and try to get you in a fight and get you out of the game. Whatever happens, don't fight. Come right to the box." Puck was dropped, and two guys came at me immediately, and I took off and went right over to the bench. They ended up with two penalties, and I scored a goal, and the scoring championship was pretty well in the making.
Well, welcome to the Jack Norris Podcast. We like to call it Jack Unmasked. Hockey stories from the 60s and 70s. Proudly brought to you by the Simply Grounded Coffee Gallery in downtown Delisle. We hope you enjoy reminiscing about hockey as much as we do. So, without further ado, let's chat with Jack. Okay, well, we're back with the Jack Norris Podcast. We got Jack in studio. Jack, how are things going today?
Pretty good. It's a nice day, we should really enjoy it.
We had an interesting week. We actually had a great week. We had a couple things going on here. We're going to talk about that, actually. We had the Celebration Hockey in Delisle here this week where they honored you. And we're going to get into the story when you were in Estevan in the 60s, where interesting scenario of what happened between you and the coach and the team. That's going to be the main story today. But even something better happened this week. You know what that was? Actually, it happened last night. We're recording this early Thursday morning. Do you know what happened last night that was really good?
No. Oh, I know. Boston beat Toronto.
Boston beat Toronto. In fact, I'm looking out in my neighbor's yard there, the mayor there, and flags look like they're down over there. Do you think Dave's pretty sad today?
Well, he came over to my place last night, and I put my Boston shirt on. He came over and had his Toronto shirt on, and we didn't bet nothing, but we had just a little rivalry we always have every year about the Toronto and Boston. And I said to him, "It's probably going to go to overtime anyway, this game." He said, "You really think so?" And I said, "Well, it might, you never know." But the Bruins took over in the third period. They just come on like they can play, and they just dominated that third period. And I think that bubble broke for that goalie for Toronto. I think his miracle games were kind of disrupted last night, because that sixth goal, I think it was, that was not a good goal.
No, it wasn't, actually. It was pretty tense there for a while. But do you know how you know that somebody's a Toronto Maple Leaf fan or a firefighter? Do you know what they have in common?
No.
Don't worry, they'll tell you.
Oh, yeah, Andrew Chuck does.
So it's pretty funny. I've been having a little battle with the young Tanner Olsen out here golfing every year, right?
Oh,
he's
yeah.
Getting better, but you know why he's getting better?
Why?
He golfs a month more than I do.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. Eh?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Drake Toronto's always done so early.
Yeah, I guess that's good.
If
yeah.
he was a Bruins fan, he wouldn't be half as good.
No. Yeah. Oh, I guess we can yap now. Last week,
I was really quiet on texting and social media last night. Yeah. I was pretty nervous there. Coming home, actually, I only caught some of the third period, but I was pretty nervous listening to it on the radio.
I didn't miss a goal last night. I saw the whole thing. It was good. I enjoyed the game. Of course, that's being a true Bruin fan when you enjoy something like that.
How about that DeBrusk kid?
Yeah, he's pretty good.
He played unbelievable last night. And I would bet if they had an older coach on that team, he wouldn't have made it.
Probably not.
He probably would have stuck with the minors for a year or two.
Yeah, probably so.
He played unbelievable. Anyways, let's move on to the other thing we had going on there, which was the Celebration of Hockey in Delisle. We do this every year. It's where we get all the minor sports teams together and the Delisle Senior Club. We kind of celebrate the whole year. And of course, this year we got to celebrate the Peewees winning the provincial title, which we haven't had a provincial title team here in years. That was awesome and good for those kids. And we might even get Kevin Clarkson on here because, if somebody wins a provincial title in this town, we'll bring him on and talk to him for a little bit. I think that'd be pretty cool.
I agree. I think we said the other night to him, "Would you like to come on?" I think he agreed. He would come. So
he'll bring in the ratings for sure.
Yeah.
If we can get that Peewee coach on here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's a good coach, I'll tell you. I think he's got respect from those kids. I could just see it when he gave his talk last night. Like when he stepped up on the stage, there wasn't a word said. And when he asked questions and told stories about those boys, they just listened and they knew exactly what, I didn't know what the stories were in half of them because I'm not familiar with the stories, but the kids sure did. And you know, I can see Kevin's got a lot of respect there.
Well, we've talked about this before, about coaches and everything. And I know I've done some looking into it, especially when I was coaching the junior team. And the one characteristic of a good coach at any level at on any sport is they need to be demanding.
Yeah, and he was. I could just see that. You know, he was step by step, but he knew what guys could give. He knew how good they were, and he knows.
So personally yourself, they honored you at the Celebration of Hockey. We probably had 300, 400 people there. I'm not too sure. And you got to come up, and we did kind of what we do on this show, actually. You got to tell some stories and everything. But what did you think of the whole event?
I thought it was excellent. Like, I remember when you guys won the midget championship 30 years ago or something, and I don't think they had anything like they had the other night. I mean, that to me, that was, the kids better enjoy that, because that was top-notch in a good show. Like, it was, that's free supper and everything, and sit around and have a beer or something if you want, just to listen to all the talk going on. But it was a top-notch show.
Yeah. We actually had video of you there, and I'll see if I could put that up on the website. We got video of you from 1965, 66, playing for the LA Blades, and that we have about 12 minutes of it. So we found an old, what is it called, 8mm tape of it. Is that what you would call it?
I think 8mm.
And so we digitally recorded it, and you playing with no mask for about 12 minutes of video, and then you also in Phoenix there for another 10 or 12 minutes playing in the WHA, and some footage of that we got to play. And the kids, and actually even the people my age, could not believe watching you play hockey with no mask. They were like, what is, like, you just look so calm out there and normal, but it's weird watching a goaltender with no mask just play like it's nothing.
I didn't even know we had that film at my place there until we just saw it one day, and I just said, I don't know what that is, let's put it on and see what it is. So we put it on anyway and found out it was a hockey story. So a kind of loss was found, so I'm glad we come across that. It was really good.
I got to imagine how many players from the 65 to 67 era, how many guys do you think have any footage of themselves on video? Because the video is mostly watching you. I mean, they're watching the play and it's going on, but it is for you. I mean, they've recorded it for you. How many guys do you think actually have good 12 minutes of video of themselves playing hockey from the 60s?
I don't think any that I know of. I was asked that. The guy said, how come you decided to do that? And I said, well, I just thought, you know what, be good at hockey schools. I first started off, I was talking about the equipment and everything and showing how you stay on your feet. And it was all basically for that reason is why I did it on my own. And that there is one, that one in Toronto, Maple Leaf Gardens, was filmed. And I don't know who did that. I can't remember who did that. But it was somebody on our team, it's quite obvious, that was hurt or something. And they were filming practice in the Maple Leaf Gardens that morning. So
had to be somebody better than that. It's pretty professional. I mean, it's not shaky.
Yeah.
It was the camera was on a stand. I mean, they were zooming in on you guys walking downtown New York, I think that was, or Toronto. Where was that? They were walking to the rink, you could tell, and they were in another building. And it was professionally done.
Houston, I think, the rink was there in Houston. Yeah. I think that's where that was. But no, it was... I seen it all. I thought, that's pretty cool. You know, I didn't, and you can speed it. I can speed it up or slow it down, whatever you want. Make me look better if you speed it up.
Yeah, well, it looked pretty quick already. So that was, I found it pretty cool. In Phoenix there, that was the old rink that was downtown. I don't know if it held like 13, 14,000 people or something.
Yeah.
And it was packed. You're getting better crowds in the 70s than they are right now.
If I recall, and I don't know if it was that particular game, but that game probably we sold out because Gordie Howe was in with Houston. Astros or whatever, I can't remember their name, but Gordie Howe was in with his two sons, and that would probably sell out just for its sake, just itself. He was a big
Houston
draw.
Arrows, I think it was, or something.
Yeah, he was a big draw.
Yeah, there's Gordie Howe. You could see comes through the footage. I think he tries to crash the net and score on you, like you talked about in the earlier podcast, where when he comes, he's coming.
Yeah,
and you can see Mark Howe. Yeah, it was Mark Howe shows up in the picture a couple times. And then there's a good scrap with Cam Connor and a guy there.
That was quite a fight.
Yep.
He's a tough boy, that Cam Connor.
They all looked big and rough.
They were.
The one thing I noticed from the two footages, if I could ever share these with people, is the 60s, the play had more fluidity to it and guys finished checks, but it didn't seem to be as aggressive. But the 70s in the WHA was very aggressive. Like, it was outright mean out there.
It was. I mean, I could tell you stories about some vicious things that I wouldn't want kids to hear, but just with the sticks, it was I remember Bobby Schmotz in a stick fight one time, and it was just uncalled for. I mean, we don't want that in the league because it's just terrible. But that was in the time when, not to speak like this, but the black and the white were both playing hockey, and we started off with Willie O'Ree in Los Angeles.
Willie was on your team, right?
Yes, he was. He ran into a lot of problems with the people upset because.
Oh yeah, I would imagine. Most people don't. It's one thing to be the first African-American person in baseball. I mean, I guess they can throw at you, and they did. They threw at those guys and hit them all the time. And the same thing, Willie came through a tough era of hockey with, let's face it, there was still racism out there at that time, and he was not welcomed by everybody. I mean, lots of guys did. I mean, you probably got along with Willie great and had everything, but it only takes one or two, and he had to go through it every game.
That's right, he did. Yeah. And I recall... some of the things they said was just terrible, just calling them just names. And we actually had two, Stan Maxwell, he come from New Brunswick, somewhere in New Brunswick down there, and that's where he came from, and he played with us also. And he was a nice guy. I liked both of them, they're both nice guys, and he was good. Well, he could really skate. He could really move, and he got picked on a lot.
What was the best thing that you liked about the celebration of hockey?
Well, I really liked it. The whole thing was really good. The talking was good. And then you said to me that one time about, well, there's one person that didn't hear the story. Who's that? And I looked at you and I didn't know who you were referring to. And I didn't tell my mom.
Oh, yeah. When I asked when you told the story about the Bobby Hall slap shot. And then I asked the question. You never told someone. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I said, I didn't tell mom, but.
Everybody thought that was pretty funny, actually.
Yeah. But, she would just cringe if she knew I got hit like that. But what I really liked was that after I told Kevin Clarkson, when we're done at the head table here, I said, why don't you get all the boys together into the Bruins dressing room, because I'd like to talk to them for a minute, just to go and talk to them. It's just something that just come into my mind that I'd like to do. And I had a big picture of the trade picture, and I wanted to give each one on the team one of those pictures. So when I walked in the dressing room, the coach,
they had won provincials, right? Wanted to kind of give them something special.
Yeah. Yeah. So I walked in the room and they're all joking and they seen me walk in. There wasn't a word said, not a word. It was just silence. So I said to the boys, I said, oh, guys, loosen up. I said, I'm just here just to help you celebrate the big victory that was. I saw that game and it was just great. And I said, I don't know many kids here from before. I know a few names. No, I just talked to them about some of the things like, I said, of all you 18 kids in here, I said, you're not all going to make the NHL. I'll tell you right now, you won't. Not everybody will. But maybe somebody will off this team. Somebody might make it. You don't know. And I said, but you know what you got to do? So then I went over how you got to push yourself and teach yourself and talk to yourself and take the game home with you and reminisce what you did wrong and go back out the next day to practice or whatever and work on those things. And that's all I really did. And then I talked to Kevin Clarkson, was there. And so then I said, any questions at all? So then they started loosening up and they started asking a few questions. So then Kevin asked three. I forget the first two, but the third question was, who was the toughest guy you ever saw in the NHL?
Oh, okay, yeah.
And I looked at him and I said, John Ferguson.
Oh, wow, yeah.
I said, he was the toughest, the meanest, and he didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
He would fight anybody, and he was very, very mean and nice. I told him a little story, but when he ran over me one day in practice, the team went on the road to hurt or something, couldn't go, so he stayed back with us and practiced with us. And we're practicing on an outdoor rink in Montreal, and I was with the Voyageurs then. So anyway, he come down the ice, and I covered the angle out good, and he took a shot, and it just caught me in the midsection. I froze it in there, and then I took my eye off of him. I looked for the puck to pull it out, and all of a sudden, boom, he just ran right over me. Never slowed down, never said... And you know what? He never said he's sorry. I was down laying out and I staggering around to get back up on my feet. And the coach never said nothing. He'd said nothing. So when Fergie goes over in the corner, I could just see him in the corner, not looking at me, but just there looking to himself. And he was saying, welcome to the league, kid.
Fergie reminds me of one of my idols when I grew up was Cam Neely, right?
Yeah.
Because Fergie was the manager for the Montreal Canadiens for a bit, wasn't he?
I don't think Canadiens, somebody else, I think.
But I remember him, they'd show him in the press box, and he looked intense and mean all the time when he was there too, and that's the way Cam Neely is now.
You see Cam in the box last night when they got that goal?
No, I didn't.
He jumped up and he slaps his hand, and he did that, and he's a big boy.
Oh, yeah.
Huge. And he's 100% dedication to that team, I'll tell you.
He's intense. They were talking about on the radio about how he's, when he's up in the booth there, he's kicking everything, bad passes. Oh, yeah. You know, they get scored against. He is irate.
Yeah.
And do you remember, you might remember this, when we were in Calgary, I was 18 years old playing Junior B, thinking I may still have a chance because I was pretty quick and had a bunch of goals there and stuff. And I thought if I could get a break, make Junior A the next year and who knows, college, work my way up. But we were at that Flames game and it was the Bruins versus Calgary. And Brian Sutter's pacing outside that dressing room before warm-up like a madman. Like you could just... And this wasn't even a playoff game. This was a league game. And the intensity, and that was a big, bad team they had at that point. And Cam Neely was my guy. And they're coming out for warm-up, and we're standing beside the mat where they're walking out, right?
Yeah.
And so I give Cam a tap on the glove. And I'm like, you know, go get him, Cam. And do you remember what he did to me?
He turned and looked at you. I thought, if looks could kill, you were dead.
He gave me the sea bass look, which is from a Dumb and Dumber movie, which if people have seen it, where the look like I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
And I was a Boston fan.
Oh, I know. I know, but he didn't respect that at the time. But no, well, I bet you better clarify to the people that we had a pass to go down the bottom down there.
Yeah.
The one trainer, I think, got us passes to come down there.
Yeah, we were right ground floor there. Walking around and got to see the behind the scenes thing. And as they were coming out, we were just standing right there and he gave me the look like he was going to kill me. And I looked at you and I said, I'm never making the NHL. I'm not stepping on the eggs with that guy.
Yeah, I know.
He was huge.
Oh, yeah. Huge, man. Oh, big. Oh, he was big. Man. Oh,
like, I used to kind of think that when Claude Lemieux turtled on him, I was like, yeah, you know, you shouldn't have done that, bud. But, you know, and he probably shouldn't have, but I can see why he did.
Yeah, but.
But
yeah, no,
it was unbelievably intense.
He's a big man. Big man. And He's muscle, all strong. He's not flab, he's strong. He's a strong boy.
I mean, he takes that intensity and that leadership to another level, but I think the people in that Boston team understand that this is what they expect of you. Like, that management team will not accept average play.
No, they won't.
Or attitude.
They're so used to having Bobby Orr there and guys that super talent, but Bobby wasn't that big. He was probably about my size, maybe. But he wasn't that huge, but he was such good skate, like so much talent as an individual. Where Cam, he would be a lot slower than Bobby, but you know what? He's got other assets that Bobby didn't have.
Oh, yeah.
For one thing is his size, and that can go a long way.
Yeah. How do you think that Jake DeBrusk feels today, or even last night after that game, like getting those two big goals and first star in a game 7, and he's a rookie this year, like instant fame for him out there?
Well, you know what? You got to watch with him the next game now. Just see how he plays the next game, because that's usually where it shows. He plays a great game last night. So they'll have, what, 3 or 4 days off before the next game starts. And you watch now. Just see how he plays his next game, because that can happen to a lot of individuals when they come up, if they're a rookie, is they can play really good one game and play maybe over their head. I don't really know, but they played really well. Next game they go out, and for about 3 games, you won't even know he's on the ice. So we'll see what happens.
That's right.
That's where a star is born, or just another hockey player.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a really good hockey player. Whether he becomes a superstar, I don't know, but he's going to be solid and pretty good.
Well, I hope so.
Player for that team for sure.
Yeah, I hope so, because he's, perfect opportunity last night, and 18,000 people there watching, and plus millions on TV. I mean, everybody know they say my idea was, who's DeBrus? Never really heard of him before. Like, all of a sudden he's a star.
Yeah.
So that was good. I mean, sure, he got a lucky goal, that last goal through his legs or whatever. He shouldn't have got that. That shouldn't have been a goal, but you know what? He did the right thing. So how are you going to knock him?
A lot of players won't drive the net nowadays, though, either.
No, they don't.
They won't drive it like that. And he caught that Gardner right off guard right from the start.
Yeah.
Gardner turned the wrong way immediately and never could catch him.
Yeah, no, that happens. But you know what? That's the way hockey is. It's such a quick game. Like that game last night was fast, quick, and you haven't got any time. Like if you don't have instinct of what's going to happen, you just take a chance and do it. But you know what? It's just such a perfect game. I mean, you got your coach from every angle, and if you go onto the bench, sitting there, there's somebody on your shoulder telling you what you did wrong. Young guy.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're an older guy, they usually don't bother you because you know more than they do, probably an older hockey player.
Yeah.
So, no, it was good. I enjoyed the whole game. I loved that. So, we'll see what happens against Tampa Bay now. We'll see who comes out on top.
That'll be a good series for sure. So we started off with a 2 or 3 minute intro that took 20 minutes.
Yeah, I know. We might as well do it anyway. We could use another night or something. But
Yeah. I think we actually had an interesting podcast here talking about what we talked about. Maybe people go, hey, you just wasted 20 minutes of my life. Or maybe people go, you know what? That was pretty interesting talk. And actually, you know what? There's give a shout out to the Beachy Bombers. They won Provincial Senior B, I believe, this year. And the Drake Canucks, I know the assistant coach there as well. Darren Blair as well, I believe his assistant, maybe the head coach out there. Drake won C, I believe, which they actually beat out DeLisle. They had a very nice team as well, too. So it's quite a thing to win provincials. It doesn't happen very often, so good for those teams, too.
Yeah.
So that was pretty actually interesting story. I mean, that celebration of hockey was a big thing in town here, and they honored you and your career. That's why you were there for playing pros. First time I think the town's actually honored you for what you've done. And that was awesome to see. They give yourself a standing ovation after the end of it, which I think was really nice. They give the Pee Wee team a standing ovation, which was great for those kids to get that. You could just tell their eyes were just wide open when that happened. They were like, this is great.
Yeah.
Which was awesome for those guys, right? Kind of feel that and kind of go, you know what? You work your butt off all year and you play well and you get recognized for it. So,
well, the kids sitting back saying, man, we did something, you know? So I guess everybody realizes what we did, so we should be proud.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
So we are proud kids.
Yeah, let's leave this podcast at that. We didn't get to the story we wanted to, but hey, we got lots of time to tell lots of stories, don't we?
Oh yeah, we lots.
So next week, we can either do the Estevan story or we could do the Paula story. Which one do you want to do next week?
It doesn't matter. One
okay.
or the other.
We'll surprise everybody next week about that. So
yeah.
Okay, well, thanks for the great stories there, Jackson, and congrats on being honored there with the celebration of hockey. I guess what we'll do is we'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. See you then.
All right. Thanks, Jackson. Talk then. Goodbye. Well, that ends episode 13 of Jack Unmasked, where we learn about Jack getting honored for the celebration of hockey, a few of the local teams here that end up winning provincials, got discussing Willie O'Ree, John Ferguson, and Cam Neely and how that all ties together, and turned this show into what essentially maybe was one of our better variety pack. If you'd like to be notified of the next podcast, go to www.nccag.ca. Click on the podcast tab, enter your email, and you'll be notified of the upcoming podcast, which comes out every Friday. Until we talk to you next week, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon. Do you know how you know that somebody's a Toronto Maple Leaf fan or a firefighter? Do you know what they have in common?
No.
Don't worry, they'll tell you.
Who was the toughest guy you ever saw in the NHL? John Ferguson. He was the toughest, the meanest, and all of a sudden, boom, he just ran right over me. Never slowed down, never said, and you know what? He never said he's sorry. Welcome to the league, kid.
I give Cam a tap on the glove.
And then looked at you, I thought, looks could kill, you were dead.
He gave me the sea bass look, and I looked at you and I said, I'm never making the NHL.